Hello everyone, welcome to the very first episode of a tennis podcast with me, Indevir Kang.
And you got me, Matt Bailey.
Hi Matt, good to see you. We're going to be running this podcast. It's going to be a series of podcasts relating to tennis, looking at matches going on, tournaments going on, and our view on it all. We're at the end of 2017 now, Matt.
Good time to maybe catch up on the year and then go into 2018 and see what we think going forward.
We've got a lot of views. And we've also got a special guest appearance from Andy Murray, and that's coming up later. So stay tuned, everyone.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Year in review, Matt. What a year. Federer 2 Grand Slams. Nadal 2 Grand Slams.
Rafa number 1, Federer number 2. Old guard back at the top, I guess.
Back in action. 10 years ago, 2007, what was happening? Federer 3 Grand Slams. He won the Australian, Wimbledon, US Open. Rafa won the French. 10 years on.
And the game hasn't moved forward.
The game hasn't changed at all, has it? Still got Rafa and Roger running the roost.
Many times you hear the women's game criticised.
Yeah.
For Serena Williams, Venus Williams dominating. But there's a parallel certainly in the men's game at the moment where you've got Federer, Rafa, top two in the game.
Well, that's quite an interesting point. Because, yeah, Serena, absolutely winning whatever she enters. But when she's not playing, you've got pretty much anyone who could win the trophy.
Sure.
Is it more interesting to have a sport where anyone could win, or is it more engaging to have a sport of men's tennis where you've got a rivalry that you can really buy into? What's more exciting as a viewer?
Obviously, probably different viewers have different opinions on that, but I think
I want your opinion, Matt.
Yeah. All right. I think a rivalry is, you know, you can really get your teeth stuck into it.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about tennis in the past, what do you talk about? Eras where anyone could have won that tournament, or do you talk about Agassi, Sampras?
That's a good point.
You know, Federer, Rafa. Yeah. Those, you know, Connors, McEnroe, those type of eras. You remember those eras.
It's true.
Rather than, okay, no disrespect to guys like Leighton Hewitt, for example. Like yeah. some of those years where, you know, maybe it was a bit more open. A lot of times people don't, you know, remember those eras as well.
No.
So okay, maybe remembering an era isn't the best indication of whether it's good for the game or not, but I think
you're right, no one talks about the Hewitt Corrier era, do they? Or the Hewitt Nalbandian era.
Yeah,
it's just a bit of a mess that time, wasn't it? Wow, interesting. Federer and Nadal, 2 Grand Slams between them, but we've got 2 people who didn't really turn up this year. Mr. Novak
and Andy Murray.
And Mr. Murray, who we're hearing from later, so do stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll come on to those. So first thing I think would be interesting to speak about. So Rafa, number 1 in the world this year. Best player in the world this year?
You know what, Matt, I wouldn't say so. I know he got there because he played the whole season, and you know, whoever's number 1 in the world should play on every surface, fair enough. But did he beat Federer once? It seems ridiculous that we're in this situation, because his whole career he's had Federer on a leash, hasn't he? He's been beating him whenever he wants. But he hasn't been able to do it this year. He is world number 1. He's won 2 of the Grand Slams. Federer's won 2 of the Grand Slams. Federer's won 2 of the 3 he entered. Nadal's won 2 of the 4. Federer's won more tournaments. Won more Masters Series, I think. I think. And Rafa didn't do anything in the World Tour Finals. He's never won the World Tour Finals. So tell me, I'd be going Federer. I'd be saying Federer's the best player in the world.
Now, obviously, I should give a completely unbiased opinion here. What I probably should point out is I'm a huge Rafa fan. So he probably adds even more strength when I say, actually, I think, hands down, this year's been, probably dominated by Fed.
Yeah.
Okay, Rafa's had an incredible year. At the end of that year, World Tour Finals, the guy was hobbling like a granddad. So you can't really, from that point on, it's probably not even worth analysing. But you look at the year, okay, Federer's made a very strategically clever decision not playing the French. He's rested his body.
He didn't play on the clay season at all, did he?
Yeah, exactly. He's rested his body. Who knows whether, you know, what he would have been able to do during the clay season.
Do you think he'll ever play on clay again?
It is an interesting question. I think I'd be surprised if he doesn't make one final appearance at Roland Garros. It could just be an appearance at Roland Garros. If he thinks this is his final year.
In the crowd,
yeah. as a ball boy.
That'd be a sight.
But yeah, I reckon he will return. a bit of a duty towards fans, and probably he wants to play, you know, play it one more time. Don't think he'll ever win Roland Garros ever again. I'd be very shocked, but then again, I think there are a lot of people saying they'd be very shocked if Roger Federer was ever to win a Grand Slam again. I think, going back to, you know, Rafa Roger this year, Roger's finally found a way how to beat Nadal.
What way is that?
I think the secret lies in the back end. All of a sudden, Federer's been able to step in, take that back end early, stop shanking so many balls. And Rafa's, you know, heavy spin to that backhand hasn't been as effective this year.
I've got a question here. So Matt, you have played tennis a decent level. Your former British, junior number 8, were you? And junior Wimbledon player?
Yeah, no, number 7.
All right, sorry, mate. Yeah, got a little bit off. But is it someone as talented as Federer? He gets to 36 and all of a sudden now he's starting to take the backhand early. Why is it taking him so long? Is it that tough to do what he's now doing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'd be interested to see whether Federer even had an answer for that.
Yeah.
A guy as talented as him, with as good coaches as he has, and finally now at that age, he's finally worked out.
That's
rough. He finally made the breakthrough.
Yeah.
I just find it incredible. I don't know, maybe it's a combination of things. Maybe Rafa's forehands aren't fizzing up a little bit. I've seen Rafa in games where he's tried to flatten out balls a little bit more, and maybe it is a combination. Maybe it's also a fact that actually, when you look at Rafa when he's played Federer this year on some of the courts, you know, hard courts where maybe the ball, you know, some of these indoor, they travel through the air a bit faster, enables Federer. Yeah, it suits his game style a little bit more, and I'm sure if he went back on the clay court, maybe Federer wouldn't be able to, you know, do the same thing.
Do you think any other part of game Federer's game has improved? Is it just the backhand?
I think the backhand is the key.
Like, it's biggest change,
you know,
isn't it?
Yeah. He serves incredible.
His serves. I think it gets talked about more and more these days. It really is one of the best serves in the world. If you look at the stats,
yeah.
Federer's got the third best serve in the world statistically. We're talking about first serve, second serve, points won. Incredible. And he's not a big guy, is he really? He's not
yeah.
stacked, you know, he's not muscular, but he hits spots and he's really accurate. Return though. I don't think anyone ever talks about Federer being an exceptional returner. But I looked at the stats not so long ago actually. Federer's 12th in the world when it comes to returns. But who do you think's... this is quite a surprising answer. Who do you think's the best returner in the world?
Yes, yeah, so I would have...
I think you'd be surprised.
So you're measuring how good a returner... what are these stats measured on? Are they first serve return points won,
yeah,
and second serve...
Points won and return, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I would have gone Rafa.
Rafa, yeah. That's interesting. You don't think Djokovic or Murray?
The only reason I wouldn't have said Djokovic and Murray this year is due to the fact that Murray's needed a hip replacement, effectively. And Djokovic, mentally, he's gone walkies for the year. So this year, I'd have certainly gone Rafa, especially knowing the fact that Rafa's number one in the world. Mm-hmm. And certainly not purely based on his serve. So
you might be surprised. So you're close. Rafa's number two in the world. The best returner in the world is Diego Schwartzman.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Who
was going to say second? Definitely. obvious choice there.
Yeah, yeah. And he's what is he in the world rank? He's about top 30 or something. Yeah,
he's made a breakthrough this year, certainly.
Breakthrough player of the year.
Yeah, I think that's certainly he'd be right up there.
Yeah.
He's certainly upped his game, and I'm guilty of not knowing and. Probably not having watched enough of good old Diego in previous years to see how he's improved his game and how he's upped it. What's your opinion on Diego? What's he done to make that breakthrough?
He's rock solid, isn't he? He's not the best player to watch, but his consistency is intriguing. I think I was talking to Andy about it actually a bit earlier. I'm sure he can give us his opinion on Diego when he's on in a few minutes. But breakout player of the year. But that brings me on to another topic, actually. I'm really, really wondering who's going to be the breakout player for next year. Are the young guns finally going to step up? Or are we going to see another year of Roger Rafa or Murray Djokovic back in the mix?
Yeah, so next year, I think you'll see Djokovic all of a sudden. He'll be back.
You think so?
Yeah, I know there's loads of question marks whether Djokovic will ever return. A guy that good,
yeah,
that talented with.
Rosetsky doesn't agree with you.
Greg might not agree with me, but I've heard a lot of Greg's comments.
Former world number four there.
Greg changes his favourite player every time there's a new world number one. So I wouldn't purely listen to Greg's advice. Maybe Greg is right. But Djokovic is unbelievable. I think doesn't get enough credit as what he deserves. He's unbelievable. Probably, I would say, when everyone's at the top level, I know this is a really bold statement and there's going to be many people that disagree with me, and I'm not saying he's the most, he's more talented than Federer or anything like that, but at the very top level, I would honestly say,
don't say it, Matt,
I would honestly say Djokovic is the greatest total match player
of all of them.
Yeah, possibly of all of them.
Wow.
And that includes like mental strength and everything combined. Not, it doesn't mean shot making or look at the runs that he's gone on. I've seen Rafa play incredible tennis and still losing four.
Yeah.
Against this guy. And likewise, maybe you could say I've seen Djokovic play incredible tennis and Rafa still winning four. Yeah, possibly. But I think Djokovic, he's really underappreciated.
Well, he's got a winning, and I don't think anyone else can say this, but he's got a winning head to head against all his rivals. He's got a winning head to head against Federer. Winning head-to-head against Nadal.
What's the head-to-head Djokovic and Nadal now?
Oh, I think it's like 26-24. What's 26-23?
Okay.
It's close, but okay. At one point in his career, before Djokovic started taking some drugs in 2011. No, I can't say that. There's going to be all sorts of lawsuits. When Djokovic really improved in 2011, then at that time, his head-to-head against Rafa was something like 16-8,
yeah.
And he's managed to turn that around completely, and now he's ahead of Nadal. That's incredible in itself. Similar story against Roger Federer. He's ahead of him in the head-to-head. Murray, since 2011, he's absolutely destroyed. Yeah. It's just like 23-11, and that's a rivalry I thought was going to be a lot closer by this stage. But I think there's something in what you're saying, really, Matt. He dominates all his rivals. 12 Grand Slams, not as many as Roger Rafa, but he's younger. He's won the most number of Master Series titles ever, 30, tied with Rafa. He's got the highest winning percentage of any player in history in the Open era.
Yep.
I think that's worth something as well. And that four-year stretch from 2011 to 2015, let's not forget that, well, extending to 2016, that included him holding all four Grand Slams. We haven't seen that since Rocket Laver, have we?
Yeah.
Rocket
that's,
Rod.
That's true.
I think there's something in what you're saying there, actually.
I really think that Djokovic will be back this year. Maybe it'll take him a little bit of time to get back in, but I would be surprised if he's not pretty much, I think he'll have a good run at the Australian.
Do you think he'll win the Australian?
It wouldn't surprise me. And again, that's a pretty bold statement, having not seen him.
Are you putting Djokovic as your favourite for the Australian?
I think I'm going to put Rog as my favourite for the Australian. Currently, but who knows how much work is Rog going to put in the off season, and there's a lot of question marks with Rafa's knee recover by then. Who knows, Mr. Kyrgios, home soil, big time player. If he has to play Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, Murray all in the same tournament, then he's got a good shot of winning. If he plays anyone outside the top 50, he's probably out first round.
That's so true, Matt. The amount of nobody's nobody on the tour, but players you're not high profile, like Kyrgios loses to, it's incredible. And then here's the case. Kyrgios, the first time he played, Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, he beat all of them. What a stat. And there's only one other player who's done that. Do you know who that is?
Just beat Federer, Djokovic and Nadal first time.
Yeah, another Aussie.
Another Aussie that's not Leighton.
Leighton, yeah.
Leighton, yeah.
He's mentor now. But you're right, Matt. The amount of players that Kyrgios has lost to outside the top 50, and then he turns up and he beats all the best players.
Yeah.
He's really confusing guy, isn't he? Bit of an enigma.
I think maybe people love to watch him. I hate to watch him because every time I watch him, the guy tanks in from, as soon as he's... his opponent's drawn level and broke back 3-all in the first set.
Yeah.
I hate to watch a guy like that who I think's, you know, shocking role model. He's obviously got incredible talent. Maybe his mentality will change, his attitude will change. He's clearly an exciting player to watch.
Is he going to make a Grand Slam semi-final next year? That's got to be what he's aspiring to. That's got to be the minimum.
I think he's clearly got the talent. But look, there's been a good similarity in Tomic, who, you know, he was a young guy coming through. Everyone thought, oh, Tomic is going to be the next real deal. Unbelievable talent. It's 6 years down the line. You know, you hear less of Tomic now than he's done less now than what he did when he first broke through. So
quarter final when he was 18.
Yeah, and I certainly can see a similar. I could see a similar pattern developing with Kyrgios. Now it's completely in Kyrgios' hands. He's got the talent to make a semi final to win a Grand Slam. Doesn't mean it'll happen.
It's quite interesting you've drawn that comparison with Tomic. Obviously they're countrymen, similar age. Similar regard in terms of talent, but Kyrgios, he actually wrote an article about the comparisons between himself and Tomic, and said he's not even in the same category. He's saying that Tomic is a really confusing guy. He says that he's not interested in tennis, but then he also says that the only thing that would ever make him happy is winning a Grand Slam. That's a contradiction. Whereas Kyrgios said, you know, I'm not interested in tennis at all. I want to go play basketball. I want to go shoot some hoops. This is just what I have to do. Do you think that's is that surprising to you, or do you still think there's a comparison between the two? Do you think their attitudes towards tennis are the same?
I think there's certainly similarities there. I think Kyrgios, I'd be very interested to you know, get deep in his mind, because I wonder whether it's almost a fear of failure, and he kind of disguises the fear of failing.
Yeah.
Through his reactions and almost pretending like he doesn't care,
like hitting shots between the legs when he's match point down,
because he can kind of justify losing, because you know what,
he wasn't trying.
Guys, do you not see I wasn't trying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the case, but it would certainly provide an explanation.
Okay. All right, Matt. Three big names then for next year to take the tennis scene.
Three big names for next year. So
I'll give you my names.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, you can't copy these though. Shapovalov.
Yeah.
I think he's got Wimbledon this year.
Seriously?
No.
Do you think he'll make a breakthrough?
I think he's top 50. I think he finished 51st or something, but he's been top 50. I think 18-year-old to be that highly ranked. He's beaten Nadal. I can see a big performance from him next year. I'm going to say he's got a Grand Slam quarterfinal in him. Maybe Wimbledon or US.
Cool.
Big statement. I'm going for Shapovalov though. I think Kyrgios has got a quarterfinal in him. He's not young anymore. He's 20, 21, 22.
Don't know what that makes us then.
Well, yeah, maybe we're a bit older then in that case. But, okay, Federer is 36, a bit of a veteran. But at 21, lots of great players would have won slams by then. Villander won several. Yeah. Nadal won several. We've seen it loads of times. I think Kyrgios has got to do something this year. So I'm going Kyrgios, Shapovalov. One other young name. Dimitrov's not young anymore, really, is he? 26.
No, but he's obviously made a huge breakthrough, winning the O2 quarterfinals at the end of the year. Do you think he'll kick on, possibly, and
maybe
could win a slam? Or
He's got a slam in him, but you would have thought he'd got a bit further than he has by now. But like you say, huge win, end of the season. I'm going to Kyrgios, Shapovalov, and Chung.
Chung, okay, so you're really going with the next gen stars there.
I'm staying
with that theme.
I would have said Zverev. But I think the guy has no idea how to play 5-set matches.
Yeah, as shown by his Grand Slam record at the moment.
Worst world number 3 in history. I'm gonna put it out there.
Let's hope he's not listening to this podcast.
I'm sorry, Misha, if you're... it's Alexander, isn't it? Sorry, Alex, if you're listening.
Right, so three names that I would give for next year. I think Djokovic.
Young guns.
Oh, were we talking just young guns?
Just young guns, yeah.
Okay, I thought you mentioned I thought you meant Dimitrov in there.
Yeah,
you're
cheating, yeah, that's true.
Okay, so young guns. I think there's Shapovalov. I can see him doing something.
Yeah.
Whether it'll be next year or year after, he'll be there. Zverev, I think Zverev will still be right at the top next year. I think he will. There's no reason the way he plays that he can't play five set match. There's no logic behind that.
Well, Matt, have you ever seen a world number three who's never reached a Grand Slam quarterfinal?
No, it's incredible. It's incredible statistics. You look at some of the guys he lost to. You know,
Dan Evans.
Mr. Dan Evans, yeah. Chorich.
Yeah.
Yeah, who else did it? Burdich, he lost to.
Sounds about right, but yeah, you're right. He's losing to people that you wouldn't think he would, based on ranking.
Based on ranking, yeah. But at the end of the day, I think it's only. Look, Federer struggled to make a Grand Slam breakthrough. I know it's okay, a bit different situation, but everyone was talking like Federer's next amazing talent to come through.
And he reached back to back quarterfinals at the age of 19.
Yeah, but even at that stage, people were like, why is he only reaching quarterfinals? Yeah. I used to hear stories like, this guy's a choker under pressure, and you know, he's not delivering on the big stage. A few years later, and you know, that's the last thing you'll be saying about him. So I think Zverev will be there and thereabouts. There's nothing that wows me about his game. But clearly a good match player. You know, yeah, very good match player, hence the ranking. I agree, he's got an extra level. He's got an extra level to find. I think he'll find that extra level. So out of the young guns, I'm still gonna put him right up there.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else am I? Kyrgios has got the potential, but I'm just not a big fan of Kyrgios, so I don't want to mention.
Kokkinakis, Kyle Edmund?
Edmund, got a big game. Needs to work on his surf, I think. Yeah. Not good enough. I watched him recently in Vienna against Puy. Serve was not good enough. His forehand's big, yeah, but there's a lot of people with big forehands. Yeah. Backhand's decent, yeah. A lot of people with decent backhands. Serve just not getting enough purchase, not enough 3 points on indoor court. Just trying to think who. I'm a big fan of Thiem, but unfortunately, I only see him currently doing damage on a clay court. He needs to up his game two levels, and there's a few things that he needs to return better. He was far too inconsistent at the end of the year, but I love his mentality.
He bites, doesn't he?
Yeah, I love his mentality. He's super talented. He's got unbelievable power. So I'm going to go. I think Thiem will do big things at the Roland Garros.
So you're going Thiem, Shapovalov.
And Zverev.
I went Shapovalov,
Kyrgios,
and Chung. Okay. All right. Well, I think it's time to bring in Murray, isn't it?
Yeah, we're putting Murray as least priority here.
Andy, your time to shine, come over.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing, Andy? How's your hip?
It's actually been incredibly painful. It just hurts, man.
Okay, Andy. great detail there. Exactly what I was after.
I'm sorry, viewers, as you might guess, there's not Andy Murray here, just a very bad impression. But there's more to come from that.
Yeah, you wait to see this guy's raffle impression, but we're going to save that. we're going to save that for next time.
Next episode. Okay, everyone, thanks for listening, and until the next episode, see you next time.
Ciao for now.